And now the Nutramedical Report with your host, Dr. Bill Deagle.
And welcome back. And we have Jonathan Gray, all the way from New Zealand. Amazing ancient Christian archaeologist who convinced himself he's actually studying astrology and realized the astrological signs of the coming of Messiah, God incarnate. I want to clarify this for all these people that think they know better, which they don't. There's only one God. If you have a mezuzah on your door and you're a Jew, an ancient Jew, which was had the correct vision, First Chronicles, the Lord God is one. There's only one God. God the Father, he can incarnate as a burning bush, as a mountain. He can incarnate as Yeshua HaMashiach, which means in the name of Hebrew, in Hebrew it means Yahshua HaMashiach, means the Yah or the creator or breath of everything that exists that literally becomes Mashiach or comes among us. So that was in the star signs, and you convinced yourself after you were raised by a question by, I think it was a Scientologist who raised this question, and so you've been for many, many years, what is it now, it must be approaching 50 years, writing and doing and researching all over the planet, doing archaeology, connecting with other ancient archaeologists and people that have traveled around to Israel and around the world, and you've discovered that lo and behold, the Bible is true, and the archaeological findings are deeply embedded. In fact, the ancient Amazon River was called the River of the Solomonis, which is basically related to Solomon, wasn't it?
That's right.
And there was trade going on with North America. People were like, you're kidding. Yes, there was trade with North America, even in the time of King Solomon. So the idea that somehow we weren't involved with the New World in the ancient world is ridiculous. And you've also discovered a lot of the sites that were kind of misappropriated. For example, you mentioned in previous shows that the mother of Mr. Constantine, who was a King Constantine or Emperor Constantine, who took over the church and made it pagan and turned into the Roman Catholic Church. And that's why a lot of the daughter churches still have a lot of pagan ideas inside them, because they're deeply embedded. It says, behold, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and of abominations on the earth. It's not a political system. It's the Catholic, Druidic, Reptilian Church and its daughter churches that still have many of the bad doctrines embedded in them, like once saved, always saved, or a rapture's coming, or there's going to be rebuilding a temple before Jesus arrives. A lot of these apostasies are leading Christians to expect God to put a Greek sign before them. They're going to seek before God shows up. Guess what? You have to seek God and have an eternal relationship with God today, not at the moment of your death. And don't expect Jesus to give big signs so you can finally become a believer. You have to serve God today. So let's get into it. What do you want to talk about today? Go ahead.
I want to talk about the discoveries of a superpower's army on the bottom of the sea.
Ah, go ahead.
Now, Egypt, well, the very name Egypt does evoke feelings of romance and mystery, but some 3,500 years ago, in the most glorious era of her history, Egypt was the superpower of the world. She stood at that time where the United States stands today in relation to the rest of the world. And she had luxury, magnificence, and if we're to believe some ancient writings, I'm talking here of the Bible, the sophisticated nation of Egypt also had social problems. The Pharaoh had cast one ethnic group into slavery, and he pushed his tyranny to the limit when he decreed that every newborn Hebrew male should be killed. But by an amazing twist of events, one of these infants, named Moses, was adopted into the Egyptian royal family. Absolutely unexpected and uncharacteristic. But Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. He was groomed for a position of leadership, and he became a great general and statesman. But his mother had taught him that the thousands of slaves working in the brick pits were his own people, and that his destiny was linked with theirs. And so the time came for Moses to make his decision. He could choose to become king of what was the world's greatest empire, or he could be numbered among the sweating and grumbling slaves. And so his sympathies aroused for the Hebrews. He rashly killed an Egyptian and was forced to leave Egypt. He fled to a place called Midian.
Right.
Now, Midian is today and always has been in Saudi Arabia,
right.
Northern Saudi Arabia. When Moses came to Midian in Arabia, according to the record, we find him talking to the Lord God at Mount Horeb. And the Lord told him, when you bring the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And so Moses returned to Egypt. This time a new pharaoh was on the throne, not the one that tried to punish him for killing the Egyptian. But following a series of calamities upon Egypt, the slaves were freed. And Moses gathered them together at a familiar military staging post known to the Egyptian leadership, and marched them on toward safety. Now, a lot of people have been saying and making claims that the Red Sea crossing from Egypt was the Gulf of Suez. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible
right.
says actually it was a deep area. The Gulf of Suez is shallower, but the deep area is the Gulf of Aqaba. There are two arms of the Red Sea,
right.
one on the closer to Cairo and one running against Saudi Arabia. So the quickest way across was the way of the Philistines, and God was going to lead them to a promised land where they'd be free. But he chose not to lead them that short route. He was going to take them a much longer distance, because here he was going to prove his power and might to the nations and show that he really is God. And this would be a tremendous historical event that no one would forget and all the nations of the world would hear about. Now, Egypt controlled what today is called the Sinai Peninsula, wrongly called by Constantine's mother, as Dr. Bill just pointed out. Egypt at the time of the pharaohs and the Exodus controlled all that area, so why go over there at the risk of being captured again in a different part of Egypt's control? No, they had to go beyond that. They had to go further. And going across the Gulf of Suez into the so-called Sinai Peninsula would still be in Egyptian-controlled territory. But they became actors in a drama that God was going to show his power. Now, as they were going across this area, they were directed to turn. And they turned aside through what is known today as the Wadi Watir, a wide and wild mountain gorge, a natural roadway from Egypt. And as the scripture says, they were entangled in the land. Pharaoh had scouts right throughout the area, and they could tell where the army was progressing. And they had their SOS, Morse code method, which they used. And Pharaoh knew exactly where these people were and says they're entangled in the land, they've got lost. But they hadn't got lost because God was leading them, especially around this area, surrounded by mountains. Now, as they came through that gorge, they found themselves opening up to a huge beach which could take millions of people. It was an enormous sandy beach by the Red Sea. And we're told that they encamped by the sea, 600,000 men, plus women and children, probably something like 2 million people at least. Now, this beach does have the ability to contain those people, plus a huge army, if it was needed. And at this beach, we're told they found themselves shut in by mountains, which came right down on both ends to the sea. And Pharaoh said, I've got you now. And his army overtook the Hebrews in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth. That's what we're told in the scripture record. So once the army entered the area, the Hebrews' only means of escape would have been to the south, but mountains blocked them. They had no way north to escape. Mountains blocked them again. All they had, they were between the devil and the deep blue sea, the devil being Pharaoh and his army. Now, the Lord was getting ready to show the Hebrews how much he really cared for them. And Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and see what salvation God will do." Now, a cloud came down between the Hebrews and the Egyptian army, and it provided light to the Hebrews by the sea, and it enveloped the Egyptian army in darkness. And then something interesting happened. God told Moses to lift up his rod, his shepherd's rod, and see what will happen. And immediately the sea, a strong wind blew from the east. And the strong wind actually was so powerful that it divided the sea, but it stopped dead just before the Hebrew camp. Now, I had someone telling me that a tornado can cut through something, but then suddenly there's no wind in front, and it can just drop. And probably something like that took place, but it blew, and interestingly, it not only blew, but it froze a wall of water on one side of the gap, and another wall of water on the other side.
Yeah.
Now, so, with a tidal surge,
the supernatural thing happened, basically.
It could not have been a tidal surge.
Isn't that amazing? So,
stronger.
So what God did, basically, is he knew that before the time of the universe being created, that this combination of events would create walls of water that would protect them as they crossed this land bridge, right?
Yes, and what he did, actually, it says that he congealed the water. He froze the water on both sides. Strong wind froze the water on both sides. So it was two walls of ice and hundreds of feet deep.
Wow.
Now, there's a Grand Canyon going down through the Gulf of Aqaba, arm of the Red Sea at this point. It's up to 5,000 feet deep. But across that Grand Canyon, underwater, there is a land bridge about 9 miles wide. And that land bridge, only along the whole Gulf, the sea goes down at 45 degrees into the canyon, underwater canyon. But where this bridge is, the sea goes down only at 7 degrees angle. So it would be easy for people to come across. And especially they had chariots of their own, which they were given by the Egyptians when the Egyptians wanted to get rid of them. And then they would have those for their old folk and little children. So the chariot wheels would have to go down a sloping grade, which would not be too steep. And sure enough, there it is at the right place, just waiting for them. And as you said, Dr. Bill, God was planning ahead. He knew exactly what to do. He had already prepared that natural land bridge under the water, which cut the canyon in two so that there was no drop of 5,000 feet, but just a few hundred feet, but
right,
deep enough to do the job that he planned to do.
Right.
Very interesting. Now, as for the timing of the water's return, when you think about it, there was the Pharaoh and his army. The Bible tells us that he had 600 chosen chariots plus all the chariots of Egypt at his command. As a matter of fact, puppet pharaohs who ruled like governors instead of the king, they had only sections of Egypt, so they had up to 20,000 chariots at their disposal. So there was lots of tens of thousands of chariots here camped at the sea to bring back those 2 million people that were escaping.
Wow.
And Pharaoh actually, when the cloud came over between the two camps during the night, light came onto the Hebrew camp and darkness onto the Egyptian camp from the same cloud.
Yeah.
And as Moses and the people saw the opening of the sea, and it was dry land for their feet, virtually the drops of water between the sand would have turned to ice, just like
right,
the two walls, one on either side.
Wow.
The Israelites began their epic journey.
Keep that thought. We'll be right back in a few minutes with amazing BeforeUs.com, Jonathan Gray, ancient archaeologist.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Legacy Emergency Foods is the top recommendation from Dr. Bill Deagle. For the lowest oxygen concentration, the largest entrees, the highest amount of protein, the most varied entrees as well, and the longest food storage life. Nothing like Legacy Emergency Foods, and if you place a regular monthly order, you get 20% off and free shipping. Do get emergency foods for your supply for preparation and get it from Legacy Foods. Contact Dr. Bill Deagle for the link at NutraMedical.com. Go to the Shop by Products link and drop down message at NutraMedical.com and then place your orders for regular emergency food for yourself and your family. Nothing like emergency food if the power goes out and you can't go to grocery stores or if there's an emergency or a national crisis. So NutraMedical.com, top recommendation, Legacy Foods. NutraMedical.com, go to the Shop by Products and drop-down menu, and stay well with NutraMedical every day of your life. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. To stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. And listen to the NutraMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutraMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
And I'm back. Go ahead. So, Jonathan, please continue.
Yes. So, as we mentioned before the break, as night fell, a strong east wind blew upon the sea and divided it into two walls, and between these two walls of frozen water, the Hebrews ventured in the early hours of the morning to the opposite shore. Now, the opposite shore is about 13 kilometers from the Egyptian shore, about 8 miles. And so by morning, the cloud lifted, the cloud separating the Hebrews from their pursuers was removed, and the Egyptians could see their quarry escaping. So they went down onto the seabed after them. 600 chariots and 251,000 foot soldiers, according to Josephus. And then with a heart-chilling roar, the two walls of frozen water. Now we may assume that during the night, as soon as that wind from the east actually blew onto the sea and opened it up and froze it, holding it tight, during the next few hours, it would start thawing out and thinning because the wind only came to open the sea, not to keep blowing. And otherwise, it would have blown the Hebrews away. No, it blew the sea open, froze the water on both sides. The Hebrews then went down onto the seabed, and of course, it would have been solid enough still as frozen on the floor of the bed so that nothing would get stuck as far as the Hebrews were concerned. But after a few hours, when Pharaoh woke up and saw what was happening and went after them, we may assume that the ice had been slowly thawing. And suddenly, as Pharaoh's army got down totally onto the seabed, fully there on the seabed, and the Hebrews had already escaped onto the opposite shore, and Pharaoh's army was there on the seabed, with a roar, the two frozen walls of water suddenly started collapsing upon the army. And we're told in the book of Exodus, the waters covered the chariots. The monarch and the nation's army were in that fearful place of danger by their own choice. So in a sense, they had destroyed themselves. And the disaster to the flower of the Egyptian army and the nobility was so overwhelming that Egypt succumbed to looting and disorganization and anarchy for several years after. There was no longer any royal power. Egypt was largely depopulated and she was defenseless. Now, when you think about it, those linked events, the water standing up like two walls, and also the timing of the water's return so as to save the Israelites, the Hebrews, and destroy the army of the Egyptians, they are most unlikely coincidence. The odds against that being coincidence are so enormous, and it does cause me to ask, Dr. Bill, could this remarkable coincidence, assuming that it did occur, suggest some direct miraculous act of God himself? In any case, the report claims that this event alarmed the neighboring nations, and I would suggest that this must have been the greatest single disaster that ever befell a nation in one swoop. The king, the priests of the Egyptian gods, the entire elite army of 250,000 soldiers had been totally destroyed, while the unarmed enemy slaves that were escaping did not suffer a single casualty. You know, when God intervenes, things do change. Now, American amateur archaeologist Ron Wyatt had been working and diving along other parts of the Red Sea and could not find anything, just like other searchers in the past had all been going along the Gulf of Suez and couldn't find a thing. And so skeptics have been saying there never was an Exodus. So then he went back to the book of Exodus and he found some clues that others had been missing. And he and his two sons, Danny and Ronnie, found a large flat area at Nuweiba, which was surrounded by mountains, exactly as the Book of Exodus says. Now, the Gulf of Suez is not closely surrounded by mountains, but right here, there was a beach that was. And so they got on their diving gear, and they were the first people to do it here at the spot. They got on their diving gear, and the Bible says that the sea had crashed back over the Egyptian chariot. So they went into the sea, and in the first half hour, they found the first chariot wheel. It was in 80 feet of water. In just a few minutes more, they found another one. And then gradually, as their eyes became adjusted to what they were looking for, they found chariot wheels strewn all across the seabed. The Bible says that God took off the chariot wheels. So they got stuck in the thawing ice floor, and the wheels were coming off. And then parts of chariots could be seen, not in perfect condition. They were only preserved because of a coral growing over the top of the remains. But distinctly, they were chariots, no question about it, and they were covered in coral. And there were numerous wheels, some still on their axles, some off. And there were chariot cabs without the wheels. And this coincided with the biblical account. Okay, so then they began to find skeletal parts of horses and men. And they knew that you could take the Bible story literally. Now, I took my teams down. I got international divers with me. Over 30 divers have been down now. One diver has been down more than 100 times. So we've got some good documentation and photographs of what we've found down there. And the Wyatt crew reportedly found several six-spoked wheels as well as an eight-spoked wheel. So Ron Wyatt himself moved the hub of a wheel which had the remains of eight spokes radiating outward from it. He took this to Cairo, to the Office of Antiquities, and Nassif Muhammad Hassan declared it to be 18th Dynasty Egyptian, which corresponds in real time with the same time that Moses left Egypt, the 1400s BC. And Ron said, well, how can you tell so emphatically that this is from the 18th Dynasty? And the antiquities director said, it was only during the 18th dynasty that the four spokes, six spokes, and oak spoke wheels were all used at the same time. And here you've got them all at the same place in the same army being used. So this is the 14th dynasty, the 18th dynasty rather, the 1400s BC. And then finally, Wyatt came upon a four-spoked gold chariot wheel, which looks almost perfect. And the reason this one was so well preserved was that coral does not grow readily on gold. And the wood inside the gold veneer was deteriorated, which made it very fragile. And for that reason, there was no attempt to retrieve it from the water. But when we later went across, and we've done quite a few expeditions since then ourselves, we took gold detectors down and we picked up gold readings. But we've been unable at this stage to provide further evidence on the gold aspect. Now, all these things are nowhere except in this location. Of all the archaeological sites I've ever worked, this location is the most mind-boggling by far, Dr. Bill. Well, why has no trace of Pharaoh's lost army ever been found? Well, the answer's simple. Until now, it's quite a simple answer. Until now, every searcher has been looking in the wrong place. And why have they done that? It seems that somebody read the Exodus account loosely rather than scrutinizing it for every word, every clue, and writers and map makers followed more or less like sheep, and we took it for granted that those explorers were right. But the reality is that chariot parts have never been found in the Red Sea anywhere except now at this very site. And listen to this. Here is a canyon, like the Grand Canyon, underwater, which forms actually the Gulf of Aqaba, arm of the Red Sea. And yet, here is this bridge waiting at the right place for the event that was yet to come. And I would suggest that during the Great Flood, as the flood waters were receding from off the earth, that canyon that we came through to get to the beach, coming from Egypt, that canyon actually probably spewed out soft material that was washed in the flood, and it poured into the Gulf of Aqaba, and it did that from both sides, and eventually the two arms of water joined together in the middle and formed the underwater bridge. Now, if the Hebrews had gone to any other place, there would have been, and the sea had opened, it would have been useless, because there was no other place where there was an underwater bridge of a gradual gradient that they could cross over on. It would have been just a drop into a canyon, and that would have been no escape. The Egyptians would have got them so easily. But God was preparing. He looked ahead. He saw the Exodus coming in the future. He prepared the topography of the land ready for them. And so here, across a huge canyon under the sea, across that he had built a bridge. Isn't that wonderful? You can't help but admire the wonderful foresight and power of God. And then when the sea opened, it didn't open somewhere else. It opened right over where the bridge was. And that was exactly where the Hebrews and the Egyptian army were camped. So perfect. Perfect timing. Perfect God. Now, yet the skeptics are continuing to say there was no exodus because there's been no army found. Well, they're looking in the wrong place. That reminds me of a story of a small boy. He was sitting on a park bench, and he was exclaiming excitedly, "Wow, that's fantastic!" And a learned gentleman, a skeptic, approached him and said, "Well, son, what are you getting so excited about?" "Oh, sir, I am reading how God made the waters of the Red Sea stand up and let all the Israelites cross on dry land, and then when the 600 Egyptian soldiers in their horses and chariots tried to follow them, God let the waters go back to normal and drowned them all." And so the skeptic, the man, said, "Oh, come on, son, the Bible's mistaken. It wasn't the Red Sea, but the Reed Sea, and it's only 6 inches deep, with reeds growing in it. So when it says they walked on dry land, that means the water was only ankle deep." And so, having set the boy straight, the skeptic continued on his way, only to hear the boy call out, "Wow, that's awesome!" So he turned back, asked the boy, "What are you carrying on about now?" So the little boy said, "Well, isn't God great? He managed to drown all 600 soldiers and their horses and chariots in only 6 inches of water."
Yeah, yeah.
I rather like
very,
that.
Very clever. You know, the thing is, the wisdom is found in questions that find the best question to answer an anomaly or a paradox. And the lie that he was told about 6 inches of water was real simple. How can you drown the horses and men and chariots in 6 inches of water? That's funny.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
You got a sense of humor. Back in a moment with the next segment. Very important. Back in a few minutes.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is.
Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption, helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit-flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day. And welcome back, and please continue your amazing story, Jonathan.
Well, we'll continue. As you mentioned, Dr. Bill, the scripture is true, and God is all-powerful.
And also, by the way, to get your amazing stories, you should go to Before Us, BeforeUs.com. And your e-books and your videos are amazing. They're required watching and reading. Go ahead.
Thank you. The scripture records that men and horses alike were drowned. And as my eyes scanned objects on the seafloor, strange shapes were everywhere. And I looked closer at one spot, and with a catch at my heart, I realized it was a man's hand. Strewn along the seabed were human skulls among the coral.
Wow.
And skeletons partly covered by coral. And I shuddered as I held a man's hip bone, a clavicle, and parts of skulls. And yes, even a horse hoof. It was all too real. There's no doubt that it happened exactly as the Exodus story says. Now, right there on the seabed, on that beach, there is an interesting monument. The monument is 3,000 years old. It's a Phoenician-style column. It was found lying on the southern end of the beach, and and it was partially in the water, and the inscriptions had been eroded away, or else they'd been purposely chiseled away. And the authorities have since moved this column across the road and set it up in concrete. Now, the importance of this ancient column was not fully realized until much later. And certainly this column is not of Egyptian style. And then another column was discovered on the Saudi Arabian side of the sea, almost exactly opposite the first column on the Egyptian side. And this column on the Arabian side was identical to the Egyptian one, except that it had the inscriptions still intact on the leeward side. And the archaic Hebrew letters that it has used were eventually translated. And the inscription contained these words, Mizraim. Now, Mizraim is another name for Egypt, anciently. Mizraim, Solomon, Edom, Death, Pharaoh, Moses, and Yahweh. And from this, it was deduced that King Solomon had erected these columns in honor of Yahweh, God, and dedicated them to the miracle of the crossing of the sea on dry land. Now, we do know that King Solomon, among his wives, was an Egyptian princess, and so Solomon would have family access to put up a monument on the shore there, no doubt. This is how it came about. And his ships went from the southern border of Israel through that part of the Red Sea to around the world, and they were away quite a long time. And as you say, Dr. Bill, from earlier in the program, that in South America, the Amazon River is named after King Solomon. His ships actually came there,
right.
And they traded with the people of South America.
Right.
So
the empire had direct trade with them. In fact, some of the findings back in Israel and back in the Middle East were actually showed that there even is a drug trade of some of the drugs and herbs that were transferred from South America and the Amazon rainforest to the Middle East thousands of years ago.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. So King Solomon's ships actually went in two directions. They went from the west coast of Israel through the Mediterranean across the Atlantic, and then other ships went eastward from the Gulf of Aqaba arm of the Red Sea, the southern tip of Israel, through past Saudi Arabia, past India, past Australia and New Zealand, and the South Pacific Islands to South America that way. And they were away for 3 years, long journeys. We're told that in the Bible. But from Solomon's message here, and I'll read it again, Egypt, Solomon, Edom, Death, Pharaoh, Moses, Yahweh. It was deduced that King Solomon had erected these columns in honor of God and dedicated them to the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea on dry land. And his ships would go between these two columns as they went out on their voyages. Now, the record states that it was after the Hebrews crossed the Red Sea that they came to Mount Sinai. Now, if this is so, then the real Mount Sinai could not be where tourists now look for it. It would have to be in what is now Saudi Arabia. Just look up the map yourself. And also, Moses fled to Midian, where Mount Sinai is. And Midian actually is in Saudi Arabia, no question about it. As a matter of fact, the New Testament writer, Paul, bears witness to this. Mount Sinai in Arabia, he says in the book of Galatians. There's no other option. And it may well be asked, how could we have missed that for so long? Well, it appears that modern tourists flock not just to the wrong mountain, but to the wrong country to see Mount Sinai. But now at last there's a string of discoveries that shows the Exodus story to tally with the facts. The artifacts and skeletal remains are there. They cannot be argued away. Now, I've heard skeptics say that you go all over the Sinai Peninsula. This is the Egyptian Sinai. You go all over the Sinai Peninsula and you don't see relics of the Hebrews. Well, that's true. And so they dismiss the Bible story as being untrue. And that there was no desert wandering of people called Hebrews because there's no remains left behind. Well, that's absolutely right, because they're looking in the wrong place. But if they would go across the Red Sea, they would find that opposite the shore, in the opposite shore, 8 miles from the Egyptian side, there was another beach, a big beach, like the one on the Egyptian side, where they would have landed when they had crossed over. And from there, they would see Pharaoh's army being drowned as the sea swept back on top. And here was a superpower with the strongest army in the world, totally eradicated. And here was a simple faith people who did what God said, who were not armed, and they survived without one casualty. That absolutely is wonderful. Okay. So there we have a string of discoveries that shows the Exodus story to tell you with the facts. Everything is there that we should find there. Now, but there's more. On the opposite shore and inland from it are other remains which match closely what one would expect to find after they had gone across the sea, if it was true. And interestingly, they're located in the right geographical order. For example, when you cross over the sea and you get into Saudi Arabia, we've had team members going diving there and they found the remains of Pharaoh's army on that end of the sea too. So there's no question about it. Right across, it's strewn the army what we'd expect to find. Then there's Solomon's monument again, corresponding with the one on the Egyptian side. And then there is the next place of mention is a bitter water place. We're told that after they crossed the sea, they came to a place where the waters were bitter, and God had to give directions to help them with that problem. And that place is still there with its bitter water. And then the next place they stopped at was a place called Elam, where there were 12 wells and so many palm trees. Well, there's more palm trees today, but the 12 wells are still found there. And then you continue coming on. The next place is the split rock of Rephidim, where God split the rock down and provided water for the people in the desert. And it's there today. And you can see the erosion flow where the water came out from the top of the rock. It's all there. Absolutely wonderful. Well, I'd like to say something else, too, in the little bit of time I have. Early last century, when some mummies were being shipped down the Nile River to Cairo, the contractors were in a dilemma. There was no cargo classification for royal mummies. So do you know what they did? The majestic pharaohs had to travel under the designation dried fish. Dried fish. Now, Moses had a choice. He could have been one of those pharaohs that people come to gawk at in museums, and who are totally forgotten otherwise. But he chose not to do that. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And today Moses' name is remembered. Moses is a more famous name than the names of any of the pharaohs virtually. And Moses has a place of light living. He's alive forevermore. Moses now is having his reward. We're told that the Lord God came down and he disputed with Moses, disputed with Satan over the body of Moses because he was going to rescue him from the grave. Because Moses had faith in the coming Messiah. And his faith honored God. And we have Moses today as a famous name throughout the world. Now, we could keep going and with questions, but I think one little question a skeptic put out, and he was a Jewish skeptic, by the way. He said, it would have taken, like, no way they could have crossed over that sea in one night. No way at all. It would have taken them weeks. Well, the fact is the bridge is wide enough. If you, we've got our calculations in our books. The bridge is wide enough so you would have you have 2 million people with all their chariots, with their cattle and so on, and you allow a certain amount of space between them and you let them cross over. The first army contingent of the Hebrews would cross over about 4 hours before the last one. And then the total crossing for everyone individually would be 3.5 hours. So 4 hours plus 3.5 hours would be 7.5 hours at the most. The distance across is only 13 kilometres. You can do it in a night. You can do it in 7.5 hours walking speed. And there's no problem at all. So the skeptic, once again, hasn't done his homework. It wouldn't take weeks. It could all be done in 7.5 hours, which it was.
Oh. Yeah, that's amazing. And, of course, God knew these things before the foundation of the earth and the universe. And the reason is that over and over again, these events happen, and these archaeology things happen, to prove that God is the author of everything that was or will be, and he's not shaking in his boots. He's firmly on the throne, and all the things that are happening in our world and are going to happen this year and in the years to come, he's not nervous, and he is the God of everything that is good. All we have to do is God is with us despite all the terror stuff that's going to happen. And if we repent and we turn back toward God, he'll show us a way to survive the physical disasters coming and the spiritual ones as well by doing that, right?
That's right. You've summed it up perfectly, Bill.
Very good. Excellent. I just got a call. Somebody trying to connect me up with my next radio show. We connected up a little early. Thank you. Amazing site is beforeus.com, BEFOREUS.com. The amazing Jonathan Gray. Thank you. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Another amazing story. Go to beforeus.com, get the videos and books, and become wise in your spirit. And realize that the Bible is a supernatural book written by scribes wrote it, but God was the author. How's that?
Very well put.
Thank you, Jonathan. Amazing program as always. Again, we got to get through to POTUS and others. We got a contact this morning. If we can get this man truly converted, going from Trump Pinocchio to a real live Christian president. A miracle will happen, just like King David after he repented from killing Uriah. Let's see if we succeed. We will pray that Trump and many other world leaders will repent and become God's children again. How's that?
Yes. God bless.
Back in 2 weeks with Jonathan. Tomorrow, amazing show with Mark, Pastor Carl Gallup's coming on.